killers, murderers, decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Only the devil and I know the whereabouts of my treasure, and the one of us who lives the longest should take it all. Blackbeard.
Welcome to Decoding the Crime Verse. I am Nalzi Lee.
And I'm Danny.
And if you don't know who Blackbeard is because you've not guessed it, then who are you? Like,
okay, can I just honestly say there are a few things that we've mentioned in the show that if it doesn't come to you as general knowledge, like, you don't need to know Blackbeard's life story, but you should at least heard the name before.
Yeah.
Okay. If not from a movie or just in general, I mean, it's quite often like persona brought out in movies because of this like legend around him. I mean, the whole fourth Pirates of the Caribbean, he was the antagonist. So.
He really was.
That real funny one called Blackbeard's Ghost, which is more a comedy. It's very funny. It's very old, but it's very, very funny.
So today we are talking about crimes at sea.
Piracy.
And this is piracy. And it's the act of robbery or criminal violence by ship or boat, borne attacks upon another ship or coastal area, typically with the goal of stealing cargo or other valuable goods. Those who conduct acts of piracy are called...
pirates, if you didn't know.
While dedicated ships that pirates use are called...
pirate ships.
Oh, I did not know this at all.
Thank you, Wikipedia, for such an elaborate answer. So let's look at pirates, because I feel like most people just think about the swashbuckling things we see on TV and... well, let's look at the history because, you know, we got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And pirates actually have existed from ancient times, even in like ancient Greek and Rome. They actually used to steal olive oil from the Roman ships and grain.
Yeah.
And then later it carried on in the Middle Ages and the Vikings. But in 1494 at the Treaty of Tordesillas, that is very pronounced wrong. And I'm very sorry, guys. I can't speak Spanish. Meant that any lands discovered by Christopher Columbus belonged to Spain and Portugal, and the Queen of England was like, oh, hell no. Who gives you the right to say this? And so what she did is she sanctioned sailors to start attacking Spanish ships to steal their cargo and bring it back. And these people were actually called pirateers. And in fact, like, during course of history, the crown would hire pirateers, but most of them enjoyed the fact that they were allowed to steal stuff.
Queen.
So they kind of then were like, oh, let's become pirates. So many pirateers became pirates. So pirates and pirateers are not the same thing. Pirateers are actually doing it for the crown.
So the queen started piracy.
Moving on. What is a pirate before we start this again?
I can see. Okay.
No. And I know exactly what she's going to say. So I'm not allowing her to say it. So let's move on. Pirate ships basically they ran like a republic. You had a captain. He was voted in. The treasure was split equally. It was honestly, guys, I would love to have spent a day on a pirate ship.
I would love to be a pirate, except the boat should be on land. And then the boat attacks.
No sense of adventure. I'm just saying.
Nobody wants to be eaten by sharks.
They didn't have as much like hierarchy as like a naval ship. But I mean, like they were very, there was like, how do I explain this? Tough discipline.
And they feared very mightily the pirate, the captain, if it was a bad captain.
Yeah, and I mean, if you broke rules, you'd be flogged, killed, marooned, or walk the plank. And yes, that is truth. It's not fiction. They did make people walk the plank. They also, however, they went for long periods without food. And I mean, it was very dirty. I mean, you're living on a ship.
Isn't that torture, walking the plank? I mean, I'd much rather you throw me overboard than I slowly see that I'm going into, oh my word.
And they used to jump on the plank and it'd make it wiggle. Yeah.
She says that with a smile on her face because you're not in the studio and you can't see this.
I swear, you're making me sound like a psycho. obviously they wanted gold and rubies and gems and all that kind of stuff, but the most valued treasure was actually when they would get like flour or brandy or medicine. They'd steal those from ships because they actually would steal for what they needed. They didn't just, I mean, they stole for fun.
Yeah.
But they also needed their necessities. When you're out long at sea, you need medicine and you need food and stuff like that. So they did.
Yeah.
And they flew the flag, the Jolly Roger, which if you don't know is the skull with the crossbones. But that wasn't actually the scariest flag to see. If you saw that, obviously you would catch me turning my boat around and sailing as fast as I could.
But like, you picture that like a high speed chase and then you like swerve the car. This is a boat. So you are turning very slowly.
Okay, true, but I'd still turn and run. But like, the worst flag you could see was called Bloody Red, and it means that it was a fight to the death and no one was walking out alive. So if you saw that, say your prayers and probably take your bets with the sharks and jump in the water.
No, I would. I don't know what I'd do.
Well, it's pretty scary. I mean, imagine you sailing and you see this ship coming and it's got this red flag. What do you do? There's nowhere to run. Where are you going?
You start turning that boat around real quick.
The golden age of piracies, were the one where all the most, I think, fun swashbuckling stories come from, was in the 17th and 18th century, okay? And this is when the seas were filled with pirates. It came to an end at the end of the 18th century, but you can still find pirates today, especially in the South China Seas. Of course,
they're not as cool though.
They're not. That's what I was going to say. They're not wearing those hats with the boots with swords and stuff. I mean, it's...
They just look like people that are robbing people.
It's not epic.
Yeah.
But pirates were viewed like basically the same level as serial killers. You would be hanged. It was seen as a very bad crime.
Or they'd chop your head off. You'd be decapitated.
Well, yeah, depending on where you were. Like France, decapitation. But most pirates just got hung.
That is just so sad. I mean, leave them to do what they do. They're earning and... I was about to say,
okay, Nolene, what would you like to tell us? But we have two pirates here for you. And we first pirate we're going to talk, guys, this woman is honestly the queen of the seas. I've never read about someone so cool in my entire life. And her name is Madame Cheng. Okay, her real name, you want to pronounce that?
Zhen Yi Sao.
Okay, and she lived from 1775 to 1844. Okay, and she was one of the most famous and feared pirates of the 18th century. At the peak of her career, she had 50,000 pirates sailing under her and 2,000 ships under her command.
That is what I call a legend.
No, no, it gets better. She was never defeated, and we will get to that.
Yes,
she
was so never epic. Defeated. Oh,
I'm sorry, this woman.
It is so epic.
I shouldn't say this, but like, oh, okay. So in her early life, she was sold as a prostitute to a ship captain named Cheng Ying Yi. What? I can't, again, don't speak Chinese. So, and basically what happened then is he wanted to take a wife. So he lined up all his prostitutes and was like, I like you, marry me. And then when she was unleashed, they took her bounds. She attacked his face. She started fighting him, guys, already. You can see she's
crazy.
She's crazy.
And he was probably like, yes, I love her.
He bribed her then with money and jewels, and they got married, and then they adopted a son, because that's what we do when we're pirates, we adopt sons. Anyway, she then, in 1806, she was in command of her fleet, and even her husband was scared to step in her way. And basically, any ship that was passing Chinese territory paid her for protection. Okay, in 1807, her husband died, and she took control of his entire force. And everyone feared and respected her. And then it's a bit weird because she married her adopted son, which is really whack and gross.
How do you raise him and then marry him?
Maybe like... he was, I don't, maybe they were similar in age.
No, that is gross.
We don't, that's just disgusting.
Yeah.
And it was very prosperous under her reign, and it was very controlled, and it was organized, and she had loyalty, and she even, the farmers who provided food to her ships, she paid for their protection. She's like, no, make sure that my sailors are fed and you'll be looked after.
Yeah.
And she had a very strict code, and we're going to read some of her rules. Yeah.
So with her code, any pirate giving his own orders or going against the orders would be beheaded.
Any deserters had their ears chopped off.
Any pirate withholding booty was first given a severe whipping, which probably was severe.
Yeah.
And most offenses led to death. You see, this is why I can't be on a ship. What is my offense? I didn't raise the sail.
Well, if discipline us, I don't know. Those who stole from the fund or from protected villages were killed.
If a pirate took a captive as his wife, he must remain faithful. So she was nice.
At least she respected that.
Yeah, she was nice. And any pirate who raped or abused a female captive was beheaded.
Exactly.
So she protected the woman.
She did protect
the woman. And that's probably because she came in as one of the women.
But female captives deemed unattractive were set free. The rest were ransomed. So it was a good time to be ugly.
Yeah. It's like, please, I'm ugly, please. No.
Could you imagine? Nah, let her go. She's not going to fetch
her
pretty
penny. She's not even worth it.
Nah.
That is so, I think I'd walk the plank at that point because I can't go back home. Why did you come back? How did you escape? I was ugly.
I was too ugly.
What?
Could you
go back there and get killed?
I'm sorry. That is so funny. But now let's talk about her and how she was never defeated. Okay. That in itself, one of the.
She retired.
Top tier criminals. She retired. Okay.
Which retired. Criminal retires.
Okay, no, but it gets better. It gets better. Because what happened was the Chinese were now like, they were like, we need to destroy her fleet. She's causing us problems.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the Chinese tried and they failed.
Yeah.
So then the Chinese were like to Britain, yo, do you want to help us? And the British came and they also failed. Because, you know, when you've got 50,000 pirates and 2,000 ships, it's a. But do you know, pirate ships, they used to, first of all, they would, like, load extra guns on. And yeah. They would have, normal ships don't have this, but they have, like, 300 people on the crew.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, then that surprise attack that when you got to the ship you were fighting, you were so much more manned and staffed that they were overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So they used to do that, which also then led to those conditions of it was squished and cramped and everyone was just, could you imagine if someone got sick and then, or just spread? Oh, no.
Mm-mm. That would be disgusting.
Ugh. I'm just saying. Anyway, so in 1810, the Emperor of China was like, okay, we need to do something.
Yeah.
And what he said to her is he said, okay, you can retire. With amnesty, so she doesn't get tried for any crime she's committed, if she agrees to retire. And she agreed. But she did say she wanted her husband to have a command of an imperial fleet, which
her
he
husband
got.
Child.
Her husband slash child, which is, yeah. She retired with her fortune, and they gave her a palace. So you commit all these crimes.
Yeah, and she kept some of her fleets and boats. So at any point in time.
No. And when her husband slash child died, she started up gambling rings and opium dens. Guys, you went from being the most feared pirates. First of all, you're a woman.
Yeah.
And pirates didn't even like women on ships. It was bad luck.
Yeah.
So first of all, you are the most feared woman pirate in the seas. 50,000 people under your command.
Yeah.
You get to retire in a palace that was given to you by the Emperor of China.
And he had to because they tried to take you on and they all failed.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? That's like, I'm sorry, it's just so cool. Like, I was reading about her and I just had the fattest smile on my face. I shouldn't because she's a bad person. But I was like, yes.
No, she was definitely epic. And the next person is Blackbeard.
William Teach. That
was
his
real
name, if you didn't know. And actually, some didn't call him Teach. It's also spelt really weirdly. It's like Fetch.
Yeah.
But William Teach, known as Blackbeard, lived from 1680 to 1718. And he was a very infamous pirate.
Yeah.
They actually say he's probably the most infamous because if you ask people about pirates, people can say Blackbeard, okay? And he was known for not only his fearsome acts at sea, but on land, throughout the West Indies and North America. So he would have been like in the Caribbean
area. Yeah.
So early life, not much is known about his early life and his rise to pirate captain. It was said that he was hired as a pirateer by the British during the War of Spain. And then afterwards, he was like, I like this. And he then went under the command of Captain Benjamin Horngold.
Who hired him? The Queen. I think it says the Queen hired him to be a pirateer.
I don't see that. I don't see that. She's making this up. She's making... What do you have? Okay, we're not getting back into this argument. But anyway, he rose through the ranks because of his naval skills and soon became his own right captain.
Yeah.
And now we're going to talk about his ship, guys. His ship has such a cool name, but we'll get there. So around 1716, Haringold said to Teach, okay, he gave him like command of a ship they had stolen, and it was named a British ship called the Concorde, although it was said that they thought it was originally a French ship that was then stolen by the British and then stolen by Blackbeard.
Blackbeard.
So, yeah. And they renamed it to the Queen Anne's Revenge.
Yes.
That is like so cool. And that was his flagship vessel. And he only used the ship for a year, unfortunately.
I wonder why he called it the Queen.
But it wasn't even Queen Anne. I don't know who was in power at this time. I don't know who the Queen was at 1701.
Just saying.
Maybe it was Queen Anne. I don't know. Let me not. Anyway. And on the ship, he amassed his fortune. Apparently, he even hired a chef for his ship because he wanted his people to eat good food.
They ate.
We respect you.
Good food. Food.
He boosted the ship with 40 guns and had a crew of over 300 people. Okay, unfortunately, he scuttled the ship North Carolina in 1718, which I don't actually know what scuttled means. I assume it's something like sinking.
Yeah.
I don't know the definition of scuttled. Google that, and while you're at it, also Google who the Queen was. 1701.
No, I raised my case. I'm just
1701. And actually, the ship was found in 1996, offshore Carolina. And you can actually go see artifacts in the Smithsonian. One of the Smithsonian.
That is something I would go and see.
You know what I'm so angry about? I've been to this museum and I didn't know that stuff was there. So I could have seen it, but I was robbed of that experience. Does it have an answer?
Scuttle is to run. No, let's go to the 15th century. Deliberately caused to fail. Sink one's own ship.
Why would you sink your own ship, especially with such a cool name? Because after that ship, he took on another ship that was called the Adventure. That's so boring. I'm disappointed.
Oh, so you wanted the Queen Anne's.
It's just a cool name. It's just a cool name, guys. Can I not appreciate the name of my ship here?
And this is the guy. This is what he looked like. He had a daunting appearance with an enormous black beard, hence the name Blackbeard, reaching to his waist.
Yeah, it was Queen Anne at that time. I just Googled.
So Queen Anne wanted to take revenge on someone, and then she hired him as a pirateer. And then he's like, one day I will dedicate the fact that you gave me my profession to you.
Do you know
by
what he's
naming my boat?
Do you know? Do you know his flag wasn't your normal Jolly Roger? It was a full skeleton holding a spear that was stabbing a heart while he was drinking wine. That was his flag. Yeah,
crazy.
So yes, not all pirates kept the traditional Jolly Roger. They changed it up a little bit. Originality, you know, gotta appreciate that. But sorry, I interrupt your description.
Teach reportedly lit fuses in his long hair, giving him a crazed and frightening appearance.
Imagine this guy's walking up to you and his beard's on fire.
Like, why?
And he's not concerned at
and
all.
And he's just like, yeah, I'm about to kill you. Oh, I thought that was a lie in Pirates of the Caribbean. This man's crazy. Okay, tales of torturing prisoners, even turning his own crew with no warning. He used to turn his own crew.
And I mean, that then creates quite a way to maintain order because you're scared this man's is going to...
So why would I want to be a pirate if at any moment I'm going to the sharks? I'm going to be the sharks' breakfast because this man is crazy.
I didn't say I want to be a pirate forever. I said one day. I'd go for one day.
In that day, he could kill you. What if that's the day he looks at you and he's like, you're going to die, well, then, walk the plank.
Then clearly God said it was my time.
No. Not at sea. Provided the pirate captain with an excellent method of maintaining order, and he added to his image of terror, and he strengthened position with both his crew and enemies.
Yes. Yeah, he was quite a feared pirate. I mean, he often spoke about, like, deals with the devil and stuff like that. It also created around, like, the quote we read earlier at the beginning of the show.
I mean, obviously, the devil's going to be around longer than you.
Obviously,
well, technically, you're still burning with him somewhere. But, like, you're not in.
Yeah, but you're definitely not getting your treasure, mate.
And what's up with these female captives that are deemed unattractive? Set free. They just set you free.
You're on, like, the wrong page on the script.
Okay. Because I was like, why are they all so unattractive? What is going on?
She went backwards.
Even captives who are all unattractive. And they set them free.
Let's talk about his rise to fame. So basically, he's known for his blockade at Charleston. And basically, he took them captive basically for a whole week until they gave him what he wanted. And he says, I'm not letting you go. And after that, it kind of was like, ooh, flip, this guy is a real threat.
Yeah.
And after that, they took him quite seriously. And he became known as a feared, skilled leader, not just on sea, but on land as well. But now let's talk about his death. Because unfortunately, unlike Madam Ching, Blackbeard died. But it is
No, it's not.
Have you read his death?
Yeah, but they killed him and then they took his head.
But... Did you, it took, okay, wait, let's get there. So, Edward Teach died on the 22nd of November, 1718, my brother's birthday, by the way.
Oh, whoa.
And what happened was, is he gathered the attention of this man named Alexander Spotswood in Virginia. He was a governor. And he was like, no, we need to get rid of Blackbeard. We can't allow him to. So he set up this force with the HMS Pearl and the HMS Lime and under Lieutenant Robert Maynard, and he said, get me Blackbeard. Okay, and they did. They located Blackbeard on an island just I think the island was near Tortuga, which I actually thought was a fake place, but apparently it's a real place.
All real,
guys. I was that made me that's quite cool. Okay, anyway, they spotted the ship, and the plan was to like, how do I say this? Like, they were trying to block him from getting out.
Yes.
And for Blackbeard, he saw them coming and he was like, joke's on you. And he lifted his ankles, sailed right to them and took out a third of their ships within minutes. I mean, that already shows you how like, epic. I don't want to say epic.
He was epic.
Well, epic this guy was.
Until they took his head.
And what happened was, Blackbeard didn't know that most of the men were actually below deck. So he underestimated how many people would have to fight. And then all those people, when they then boarded the enemy, well, the good guys' ships, they found there was a whole bunch more people than they were expecting to fight. And it was said that Blackbeard and Maynard actually went hand to hand, like pistols, swords, one-on-one combat.
Yeah.
And he did unfortunately die. But they said when they found his body, he had 5 bullets in him and had taken 22 swords. It took them that many times to get this man dead. 5 bullets and 22 swords, and he still went fighting. How is that not epic?
It is.
I'm sad he died. But I mean, it could have been boring and he could have just put him in a prison. That would be boring.
I think the coolest part about being a pirate was the sword fights. Because, like,
exactly.
It looked so epic.
Exactly.
But then why did they take out guns? Because now you're not fighting fair.
True. But this was actually a part from Lieutenant Maynard's log entry after he had killed Blackbeard. And it said, little wind of fair weather. This day I anchored here from North Carolina in adventure sloop Edward Teach, formerly master, a pirate, whose head I hung under the bowsprit of the said sloop. I think sloop is like a colloquial term for a ship. In order to present it to ye colony of Virginia and ye goods and effects of said pirate I delivered to my commander's dispersal. So basically, he killed Blackbeard.
He took his head off and hung it somewhere so that everybody else could see that this man is dead. And if you're a pirate, you're going to die.
I'll just say, one day. I would have spent one day on a pirate. Preferably one where there was action. I don't want to just have sat there doing the sails and tying knots like I would want.
I want to spend one day on a pirate ship that's on land. And then no fighting because I don't want to get cut with the sword.
So we use wooden swords, okay.
So, yeah.
I mean, I love, one of my favorite film franchises is the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes.
I mean, if I have a sick day and I'm lying in bed, I'm either watching the first Pirates of the Caribbean or Sound of Music. It's my comfort movies. I can literally quote the first Pirates of the Caribbean.
Quote it.
What part do you want?
Any part.
The problem is not the problem. The problem is your attitude towards the problem. There's also one that says, a crazy man doesn't know he's crazy. I know I'm crazy. Therefore, I'm not crazy. Isn't that crazy?
I love that guy. Absolutely.
Guys, Jack Sparrow. It's the one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home and watch the movie now. But I think this is a pretty different topic. I mean, most people, I think we forget that pirates existed. I mean, I feel like they've become so part of like fiction and fantasy that these people existed. These people did cause
havoc. They're not as cool now.
No. But now they lost their pizzazz. That's not the word to use. How do I say?
They lost their pizzazz.
Lost their it.
But they did. They did.
They lost their aesthetic.
Yeah.
No more pirate. But even, no offense, but like ships nowadays are not as cool as they were. Like with the sails and the cannons.
Now they have small boats, so they have boats, but it's like, did you build that yourself?
Exactly. And like, guys, and no one walks the plank anymore.
Okay, leave the plank. I've gotten seasick talking about this topic. Like.
But from now until next time, take what you can.
Give nothing back.
Like what you're listening to? Follow us on Gab and Twitter at ActiveFM. Instagram at ActiveFM777 and Facebook at /ActiveFM.